2 weeks after the Nymordians' unannounced disappearance from the flagship Sayakak, Plagueis and Sidious knew only that Darth Maul had succeeded in tracking down and killing Hath Mancha, though not without wide-ranging collateral damage, and that Maul had piloted the stealth infiltrator to a docking station linked by a series of zero-G airlocks to the Perlimian Orbital Facility's principal reception dome, a grand enclosure that looked out on a sweep of Coruscant and the stars beyond, and was designed to feel more like a garden in space than a sterile conference hall. Just then, the dome was filled with senators and judges, corporate leaders and ambassadors, power brokers and media pundits, and contingents of Senate guards and Jedi.
"Why did you order him to come here, of all places?"
Damask asked Palpatine during a respite from the handshaking casual conversation and forced conviviality. Dressed in their finest robes, they were standing near a backlighted waterfall, nodding to passing beings, even as the two of them conspired.
"He has cut a swath of destruction through the Crimson Corridor and killed two Jedi, along with beings of a dozen species, including a Hutt. We can't trust that someone isn't on his scent. If not Jedi, then perhaps law enforcement personnel. If by some fluke he were to be apprehended, he has the skill to scramble the minds of ordinary beings, but not to cloak himself from a Jedi. Both our existence and our plans for the blockade could be endangered."
"Jedi were on his scent," Palpatine explained. "That's precisely why I ordered him off-world."
Damask started to respond, but stopped himself and began again.
"He is in possession of this holocron Manchar recorded."
Palpatine nodded.
"I instructed Pestage to clear a route through a seldom-used docking bay. I merely have to rendezvous with Maul at the prearranged time and place."
Damask still wasn't convinced. The Manchar affair had almost ended in catastrophe. It was as if the Force, so often compared to a current, had been diverted into a sheer canyon and twisted back on itself to generate treacherous eddies and hydraulics.
"Why not simply have him surrender the crystal to Pestage?"
"We don't know what other sensitive data the holocron might contain."
Damask exhaled forcefully through the mask.
"I trust that at least you instructed him not to be seen."
He glanced around him.
"A tattooed Zabrak enrobed in head-to-toe black would certainly stand out among this crowd."
Palpatine couldn't argue the point. Off to one side of them stood Senator Bail Antilles and his aides, a prince on his homeworld of Alderaan and chair of the Senate's Internal Activities Committee. The handsome, dark-haired Antilles was surrounded by a crowd that included Core World senators and business beings, all of whom had pledged to support him in the coming election, and Jedi Master Joris Sebaoth, who had been enlisted to arbitrate a dispute among some of Alderaan's royal houses. An arrogant and wild-eyed human, Sebaoth was cut from the same cloth as Dooku, whose absence from the political gathering had been noted by many. Antilles had been the Sith's pawn in bringing to the fore accusations of wrongdoing on the part of Valorum during the Eriadu crisis. But the notoriety he had gained as a result, in the Senate and in the media, had bolstered his campaign and made him the current top candidate for the chancellorship. No Jedi had attached themselves to Ainley Teem, who was also within view. But the Malastare Gran was widely popular on many mid and outer rim worlds, and enjoyed the support of Senator Lot Dodd of the Trade Federation and Shu Mai of the Commerce Guild.